ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. वि विल् कण्टिन्यू एक्स्प्लोरिङ्ग् दि 9th चाप्टर् आफ् दि भगवद् गीता. Yesterday, we have been discussing this beautiful, one of the gems of the verses from the 9th chapter. And this one verse is enough to guide our whole life. Our goal is to become completely submerged in God. Ananyah chintayanto mam, ejanah paryupasate, tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. I will tell you a beautiful story. Whether it is real or not, I don't know. But it could be real because it has been proved in the lives of Sri Ramakrishna and other saints also. In a village, there was a Brahmana many centuries ago, and he used to live on begging food. But he dedicated his life at the feet of Sri Krishna, and whole day he will copy the Bhagavad Gita. And when it is completed, he will lovingly gift it away to somebody, some devotee whom he recognizes as a sincere devotee. Remember, in those days, printed copies were not available, only written copies. So many times he copied this Bhagavad Gita, entire Gita. Once he started copying, one day he came to this particular verse, the 22nd verse of this 9th chapter, Rajavidya Rajaguhya. And then he came to this verse. What is written at the 4th quarter of this verse? Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. That means, whatever things are necessary for the maintenance of my devotee, I will bring them. I will also protect them so that others cannot take advantage of him. And here he uses Vahamyaham, means I carry on my own back. Many times this Brahmana copied, but this time he got a doubt. Why should the Divine Lord, who is the ruler of this entire universe, why should he really carry it? He can employ his servants, other gods, goddesses, etc. So he thought the author, Vedavyasa, he had said something wrong. He cut that word, Vahami Aham. Vahamyaham means Aham Vahami, Vahami. And then he wrote in its place, Vahami Dadami, Dadamyaham. I grant them, I give them. Then it was known, he went out for begging, and then it so happened, soon after he went out for begging, and his entire family used to live only on that. We do not know whether he had any children, but definitely he had a wife. And suddenly there was a knock at the door, and the lady opened and perceived two most lovely children of 6 or 7 years old, and both of them were carrying heavy loads. Then she asked, "My children, who are you? Why did you come?" And they said, "Your husband is very lucky today. Some well-to-do man had donated many things, and he employed us to carry all those things he got by begging, and we have brought them to you. So please come inside, put them in a corner." And then when they were bent down to put down, saw there was one boy. He was a little bit blackish in complexion, and then she saw a big slash, and blood was oozing out as if somebody laid a big whip across the back of the person. And this lady was a very pious lady, great devotee of Bhagavan Krishna, and she was pained. "My child, who bet you like this?" And the child replied, "It is your husband." She was shocked because she knew her husband was a very tender-hearted person. But anyway, here is a proof that he behaved like this. Then she said, "My child, let me wash you. Let me apply some ointment, and I will cook for you, as plenty of food material has come. Then you can eat and then depart." They said, "No, no, no. once your husband saw us, soon he may be returning and he might give us more. We don't want to stay, tarry here any longer. And then immediately they disappeared. And after 2 or 3 hours, slowly, completely tired, exhausted, hungry, thirsty, and her husband returned. And by that time, the good lady had prepared various dishes that day and waiting eagerly for the return of him. And the husband entered, smelled, and then the first thing he exclaimed was, "Today, day of bad luck, nobody had given me today." The wife contradicted him, said, "What are you talking about? Somebody had donated you a huge amount of food material, and how can you have the heart to employ such tender-bodied children, and how cruel you are to beat one of the boys?" The husband looked blank and he asked, "What boys are you talking about? What beating are you talking about?" Then she explained. Then tears started running through the eyes of that devout Brahmana. He said, "How lucky you are. What a great mistake I have committed. Today I was copying this particular verse and I read this one, Vahamyaham. I thought the author had committed a mistake. I cut it off. And that cutting that word Vahami was the cut you have seen on the back of my Bhagavan Krishna. He wanted to teach me a lesson. He doesn't mean only giving, granting, but he means really he carries on his own shoulders. If the devotee requires, he will do all these things. I learned a great lesson. I will never again do anything to insult. So, how lucky you are. I have been praying for their darshana, but you got the darshana. It is all his divine grace." So, immediately he went there and then he cut off again that word Dadami and replaced it with Vahami. This is the story. Many stories are there, but one day, let me say, Swami Vivekananda was in a wandering state somewhere in northeast India near Almora or somewhere, and then he decided to test Sri Ramakrishna. And one noon, when he was very hungry, mind you, he was just in the prime of his youth and he was also a boxer. How hungry he must have been! But he wanted to test Sri Ramakrishna, whether he is looking after me, whether he will carry the food, whatever. He climbed a tree and he put a condition. "If you are there looking after us, then I want hot khichdi." And sat there, meditating upon his Ishta Devata, who is obviously Sri Ramakrishna. Meanwhile, there was a village nearby and there was a shopkeeper. And he was lying at noon, that is Indian's custom, saista. He was a great devotee of Bhagavan Sri Rama. And Sri Rama appeared to him in his dream and pushed him, "Get up, wake up." He thought it was a dream, his imagination, and he turned sides and again trying to sleep. Rama had given him another push or two, then he woke up. Then the Rama told him, "My devotee is there on such and such a place. He climbed a tree and sitting there on a branch. You quickly prepare some hot khichdi and carry it to him." Immediately the man set about that great faith. Dream is not a dream. It is nothing but the divine Lord appearing to me. Like Kshudiram had that divine dream of Sri Ramachandra. Here also he had the dream of the Sri Ramachandra. Kukud Khichodi came to the spot which Sri Rama showed him. And he looked up. He saw the monk sitting there. They did not know each other. Said, "Swami, please come down. I brought your food." Swamiji said, "You must be mistaking me." The man said, "There is no mistaking. My Lord Ramachandra has asked me to prepare and bring it here and feed you. Please come down quickly." Like this, one story, two stories, millions and millions of stories are there. The entire life of Sri Ramakrishna is nothing but a proof that he who completely surrenders himself to God and depends slowly, like a small baby depending completely upon its mother, like a kitten just crying mew mew, and its mother does everything, in the words of Sri Ramakrishna. So if somebody depends upon him, the Lord will give. But here is a condition. Condition is, a true devotee never cares what the Lord brings. Whatever the mother gives, that is amruta for the baby. We have to be like that babies and complete faith. Whatever mother is giving me, the best thing she is giving me. With that knowledge only, we will be entitled to be called Ananyaha Chintayantaha. It is not merely thinking, it is not merely praying, but it's complete faith that I do not need to worry. It is the Divine Lord, Divine Mother, who is doing all these things to me. Ananyas chintayanto mam e janaha. Those people, pariupasate, those who serve me. Upasana means pariupasate, think of me, chant my name, sing bhajans, go on pilgrimage, whatever they may be doing. The one central idea is none other than me. And they are totally submerged. They will not be thinking of anything else excepting their Ishtadevata. Ekakara vritti. It could be Krishnakara vritti or Narayanakara vritti, Shivakara vritti, Buddhakara vritti, Jesus Christ vritti, but completely absorbed in that idea. And that, for that person, the Divine Lord looks after those people completely. There is no doubt about it. But it is the highest state. One has to acquire it slowly, slowly. After many lives, we are going to reach there. Unless you are a believer in me and come to Varanasi, one life is enough. Once you go there and you die there, and that's enough. Tesham, of such people who are completely merged, who are not aware of the external world or internal world excepting me. Nitya Abhiyuktana, not once, not 23 hours, but Nitya means constantly. Then such people, they really become incapable of looking after themselves. I take care of them and I bring people to help them. I bring materials so that their life will be congenial for whatever they are doing. If necessary, I myself will carry everything there. I want to share with you a familiar story again. For most of you, maybe for a few of you it is not familiar. There was a great Kali Bhakta called Ram Prasad. He was a householder and he used to do Shavasadhana in the crematoriums at night also. He was having a small 8-year-old daughter. I think her name was Katyayani. And he was living in a poor hut. Once upon a time, he worked as an accountant, so-called accountant, under a jamindar. But instead of maintaining the accounts, he used to fill the margins of the account book with Kali Kirtan. He was a great writer, Sadanandamayi Kali, etc., etc. So he used to write so many of those Kali Kirtans. And then the manager complained, took him to the jamindar and then showed, this man is a waste, throw him out. And the jamindar said, let me look what he has written. And tears came from his eyes when he read, because he happens to be also a devotee of Mother Kali. He called and said, Ram Prasad, you don't need to work. You go on thinking of your mother and I will provide you whatever is necessary, and that is it, you go home. And this man came home and completely absorbed himself. So he had a hut, and practically every year he had to repair the what is called the thatched houses walls, because they become in course of time very holy, means full of holes. On one occasion he decided to repair the wall. So he called his daughter, said, my child, stand outside, I will pass the needle with the thread and you pass it to me in this manner. He taught her. And then from inside, he was completely absorbed in composing. He was a natural poet. He used to only, just like Ganga, the poetry, the poems, the kirtans, used to spring from his mouth. So this person, he was singing, absorbed, and he was also, a part of his mind was doing this repairing work. It was almost noon. By the time he could complete thatching all his thatched walls, and then as he was about to finish, suddenly his daughter rushed inside and said, Papa, Father, how did you complete this work? He said, why, my daughter, were you not passing the needle which I was passing to you from outside to inside? She said, no, after a few minutes I got bored. I went off to play with my friends. Then he realized, because he could see through the chinks of that thatched wall, he could see his daughter Katyayani for several hours. She was passing that needle, and then he understood. As soon as his physical daughter, biological daughter, ran away, The Divine Mother took the place of that Katyayani in the exactly the same form, and she was helping him. So in the lives of the great people, practically every saint, if we study, not read, but study with attention, every moment of their life, they were being watched by God and they were served by God. It is God who serves us in every way. Tapamyaham varsham nigruhnami utsurujami cha amrutam chaiva mrityascha sat asatyaha aham arjuna. Just few verses back we have seen that it is the Divine Lord, Pata, Pita, Dhata, Pitamaha, Gatihi, Bartha, Prabhu, Sakshi, Nivasaha, Sharanam, Suhrut. In 30 verses he said what he is. That means there is nothing what he is not. Everything is his. What I consider, what we consider our body, mind, is none other than him only. It is this thought that everything is my Divine Lord, my Divine Mother, and to be absorbed in that, even if I am able to do something, is only because of her gift to me. She is getting her own work done through her own, through this body and mind. That is called Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. For such persons, the Divine Lord will look after in every way. The life of Prahlada in the Puranas is the most graphic description how much his father tried to destroy him, finish him, kill him. But it was not possible for him because Narayana was protecting him in the sea, in the fire, under the trampling of the elephants and under the weapons which were thrown at him. His body was being pierced and he did not feel. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, nachainam kledayanti apho, nasoshayati marutaha. Who can kill the Atman? Who can kill the Divine Lord? Because Prahlada was inside the Divine Lord, nobody can do any harm to him. And not only that, you may question, is the Lord really looking after only the devotees, only those who are completely absorbed? What about the sadhakas at the beginning, whose mind is scattered here and there? What about the billions of ignorant people who do not acknowledge even the existence of God? Who is looking after them? They were also being looked after only by the Divine Lord, who is carrying food to them, who is nourishing them, who is helping them grow up, who comes in the form of the mother, the father, the teachers, the hospitals, the doctors, the medications, the bosses, the office jobs, the salaries. Everything is nothing but the manifestation of the Divine Lord. In this one verse, if we can keep it in mind, and then another verse, two verses I will say, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tva Sarva Pape Bhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchaha. If we can remember these two shlokas in the Bhagavad Gita, really speaking, you don't need to study any other scripture. That is more than sufficient. But to make this point understandable, you have to attend all my classes regularly without skipping. Now, in another two shlokas, the Divine Lord is telling that in this world, I am the only Lord. I am Gatihi. I am Bharta. I am the Lord, eternal witness. I am the sustainer. I am the generator. I am the creator. I am everything. Other than me, you do not exist. Just as the entire dream world is sustained only by one waker. So this entire Jagrat Prapancha, this in the waking state, this gross world, the whole thing is sustained by one Divine Lord with different names and forms. What is the implication? Implication is everyone is treading my path only. Everybody is behaving according to the understanding I have given them. If any foolish fellow thinks this is my understanding and I will copyright it, such a person is truly ignorant person. What is the truth? It is the Divine Lord's, Divine Mother's will that all her children should continue this play, and she assigns the roles. It is nothing but she herself assumes all our forms and plays together. There are Hindus, Christians, Buddhists, Jains, Sikhs, Muslims, Baha'is, and so many other what is called spiritual people, believing in their own doctrines, and there are people who worship God in so many ways, as even spirits, bhutas, pretas, pishachas, rakshasas. There are people who worship Ganesha, Kartikeya, Shitala Devi, Parvati, Gauri, Saraswati, Lakshmi, Shiva, Vishnu, Krishna, innumerable forms, Chaitanya, etc., etc. Even for a devoted disciple, no other God exists excepting his own Ishtadevata in the form of his own Guru, like the one of the disciples of Ramanujacharya. And we can also compare Shashi Maharaj, Swami Ramakrishnananda. He, for him, Sri Ramakrishna was the Guru, he is the Ishta, he is Mata, Dhata, Pita, Mahaha, he is everything. So, whatever way a person is trying to think of God, whatever way, they are all coming to me. This beautiful idea, which is the most universal idea, was mouthed by Sri Ramakrishna as what? Jato mot tato pat. Whatever be the sincere understanding of any person, spiritual person, religious person, that is the best path for that particular person. So what is the implication? Do not become fanatic. Do not say everyone has to travel my own path. Do not say my path is superior to your path. Do not say that Jnana Marga is superior to every other path. There are many so-called awakened persons. They can give talks hours and hours together without getting tired, and they are not tired of repeating this fanatical, fantastic idea. Everybody has to come ultimately to only my path, whether it is bhakti or karma or raja or jnana yoga. Sri Ramakrishna had quelled, destroyed this idea with this simple idea, jato mat tato pat. That means, by in whatever way, in whichever way, whomsoever a devotee worships me, he is traveling my path. That means he is coming only nearer and nearer to me. And looking at that devotee, according to his needs, I fortify, I strengthen his faith, her faith in that particular path towards that particular manifestation of me, and I fulfill all their desires. And after that fulfillment, their heart becomes pure because of my grace, and they understand that these are all very small things. My real inheritance is infinity, eternity. Everybody in the end has to come to me. There is no other way. There is no escape. Through these two verses, that's what the Lord is trying to convey to us. In the verse 23rd, Epyanya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvitaha tepi mameva kaunteya yajanti avidhipurvakam. Even those devotees who endowed with faith worship other gods, worship me alone actually, O Arjuna, O son of Kunti, though in an unprescribed way, let us explore epi, those anya devataha, ye bhaktaha, other devotees. There are many varieties of devotees, and all of them were endowed with bhakti, and that bhakti was only towards me. But some worship me directly, some worship me in the forms of other gods and goddesses. Mind you, in Hinduism, there is no superior manifestation of God, there is no inferior manifestation of God. Even if somebody worships a piece of stone, or even a small icon, or even a drawing on a piece of paper, but with sincere faith, tremendous faith, the Lord will manifest in that form, and he will reach me only. I am tempted to recollect a miraculous story that happened in Calcutta. One day, a Swami was traveling in a bus, and soon another man came, and then he also sat. Seeing the Swami, he said, "Swami, do you belong to Ramakrishna order?" Swami said, "Yes." That man bowed down to the Swami and said, "I have something to narrate to you, that previously we were not at all devotees, but we happened to become devotees." Swami's curiosity was aroused. "How did you become?" He said, "When we were young, our father was a clerk in an office. He believed like any other Hindu, but nothing too serious spiritual practice. But one thing, my father for several years was suffering from insomnia. Every day some my mother and my sisters or somebody or other has to spend practically 5-6 hours with him just to entertain him at night, because he never used to get any sleep. Several years passed, and one day the family members also, they entertained him for some time, and they also had to sleep. They went away to their own bed, and this man was wide awake, staring. What happened was, a few days before, it was something like January or February, he went to a shop to buy things, and the shopkeepers have a habit of publishing new calendars, that New Year's calendars, and then this shopkeeper had made Sri Ramakrishna's photo, and then there will be below all the 12 months, dates, etc., with Tithi, Nakshatra, special days, etc. And he happened to present one to this man. This man saw this was beautiful calendar. He brought it and hung it on a wall where he could see it. And every day he used to get up, of course, see it along with other calendars, etc. But he never paid attention. One night when he was suffering excessively from sleeplessness, since he ran like mad, and started beating his head, the calendar, for the picture of Sri Ramakrishna's feet was at a level where this man's head reached. He started beating his head and he started praying, "Thakur, how long am I going to suffer?" He became almost semi-conscious. Suddenly the picture came out alive. Sri Ramakrishna was talking to him, "Kire, ghumochena, are you not getting any sleep, my child?" Then Sri Ramakrishna touched with his feet the head of this devotee. This was the experience of the devotee. Ramakrishna was touching. After that, he lost all consciousness. What happened, he did not know. How he came back to his bed and slept heavily, and at about 8 o'clock, suddenly he got up. That was the time for him. Already it was late. And then he dressed himself, and then everybody was surprised. They never saw him sleeping. But that morning, he was not getting up at all. He used to be the first person. So he came out and said, "I will tell you something, but when I returned from office," that night he narrated what happened the previous night and said, "Thakur had blessed me and let us go to Belur Math." They came, it seems, they met the then president, Swami Vishuddhanandaji Maharaj. And then this man narrated his experience. Vishuddhanandaji had tears in his eyes, and he blessed him. They took initiation, of course, the whole family. Then he said, "Thakur had really blessed you. You are a blessed person who are repeating the name of the Divine Lord, and surely you will progress in spiritual life. But you buy a copy of the Kathamrita, the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna in Bengali. And every day, the entire family read a few pages." This was the story narrated by the son of that father who had this experience to the Swami who was sitting by his side in a bus in Calcutta. And then he said, "From that day, we have become devotees of Belur Math, and occasionally we go and visit that place of Darshan of Thakur." And this story was published, I think, in Udbodhan. Somewhere I have read that one. So, what are we talking about? That whether it is through calendar, whether it is through an image, whether it through what is called Shivalinga or Saligrama, or like Mother Shitala used to be worshipped in a pot full of water and mango leaves. Whatever way, worship the divine as Vignesha, as Kartikeya, as Mother Shitala, as Ramchandra, as Gopala, as Jesus, Buddha, in any way, with any idea, because you are only worshipping the one and only existing Divine Lord. And even if your understanding is very less, even if you are sincerely praying for the fulfillment of worldly duties, you are actually coming only to the Divine Lord. And first He will fulfill it. He will remove your distress. He will fulfill your desires, and at the end, He will give you that understanding. Buddhi yogam dadamyaham enamam upayantite. I will give them that understanding through which gradually, but surely, they will reach me in the very end. This beautiful idea of Sri Ramakrishna, jato mat tathopat, is being put, and it is dependent, of course, He Himself has given this in His incarnation as Bhagavan Krishna. So, Epi Bhaktaha, those are also devotees, Bhajanti Anya Devataha, they worship me in the form of other deities. But one condition, Shraddhaya Anvitaha, endowed with complete faith that this is the Divine Lord. Tepi, He Kaunteya, He Arjuna, Tepi, all those people, Mameva, Yajanti, they're all worshipping, in fact, none other than myself only. Avidhi Purvakam, in a different way, not in a proper way, in an improper way. What does it mean? It means they are worshipping me for the fulfillment of small desires, temporary desires, worldly desires. But then, what do I do? This is what he is telling, the Lord is telling, that I will fulfill all their desires and I will strengthen their faith, and slowly their understanding becomes better. And then they will also ultimately recognize me inside, outside, here, there, this and that. There would be no difference at all. That is being said here. Aham hi sarvayajnana bhokta cha prabhureva cha natumam abhijananti tatvena ataha chyavantite. For I alone am the enjoyer and the Lord of all sacrifices. But these men do not know me as I am in reality. Hence, they fall. Very beautiful sloka. We'll explore it in the right spirit. How do all these people? They worship different gods, different goddesses, even sometimes Bhuta, Preta, Pishacha, which we will come very soon to that. But worship, whatever be the worship, whoever worships, I am the receiver of that worship. Aham hi, me, sarva yajnanam, all sorts of worships, sacrifices, any activity done invoking my name, in my name, and for offered in my name for me, that is called act of worship. Bhokta cha prabhureva cha, I am the bhokta, enjoyer. I am the Lord of all worships. I am the enjoyer of every type of sacrifice. That means if somebody offers to Ganesha, sarva deva namaskaram keshavam prati gacchati, you worship Shiva, it goes to Keshava. Worship Krishna, of course, goes to Keshava. Worship Ramakrishna, it goes to Keshava. Whoever you worship, Ganga, goes to Keshava. Worship Yamuna, Godavari, Saraswati, Kaveri, it goes to the Divine Lord. You worship a Bhuta, that goes to Divine. Why? Because who was the Bhuta? The Lord manifesting in the form of that Bhuta. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Surya, Ashwini Kumaras, any type of idea any devotee had ever cherished in the past and in the future and at present. It is all, the receiver is only one, the Divine Lord, in one Divine Lord, but in the different guises, different manifestations, he is the only one who receives, who enjoys, and then who also blesses them. Prabhu means I grant them according to their capacity, according to their merit, whatever they are seeking, and through that, again they get purified and they will reach me only. But natu mam avijananti. Many people think, that's why they become fanatical. We are worshippers of Ganesha. We don't even look at Kartikeya. We are the worshippers of Kartikeya. We will not even glance. After all, he is a younger brother and useless fellow. His vahana is only a rat and he is not to be regarded at all. Such people, their understanding is very poor. That is being expressed. Na mam avijananti. They do not recognize me that I am manifesting in the form of Ganesha, in the form of Kartikeya, in the form of Surya, Indra, Chandra, Mother Shitala, Durga, Parvati, Lakshmi, Saraswati, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, or God, or Allah, or whatever form. Ataha chavantiti. Therefore, they do not progress in life. Chavanti means they get destroyed actually. But that's not the meaning. Nobody is going to get destroyed. They fall down. They do not fall down. But slowly, in course of time, I give them because they are Shraddhaya Anvitaha and I purify them. And then they will understand and they understand. Whoever is worshipping in whatever form, they are all worshipping Maishta Devata only. So with that understanding, they become what is called Premi Sadhu, loving devotees. Then he is describing this beautiful, how in how many ways many people, different people worship me. Yanti devavrata devan, pitrun yanti pitru vrataha, bhutani yanti bhutejyaha, yanti madhyajino apima. O Arjuna, those who worship different gods, they attain to the gods, they go to the gods. Those who worship the mains, pitru purushas, go to the mains. Those who worship the spirits, go to the spirits. And those who worship me, they come to me. We have to understand it in the light of Sri Ramakrishna's teaching. As many faiths, so many paths. What is he telling? If somebody sincerely believes that I have to worship Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Surya, etc., they will go to them. That means they will go as if they become identified with those deities through upasana. And from there, again they start their journey. And first they will be identified. I am the Chandra, I am the Surya, I am the Indra, I am the Varuna, I am Brahma, Brahmaji. There are some people who worship their own ancestors. They go to the Pitruloka and remain for some time, enjoy a higher happiness in that Pitruloka. But they are not, there is no such loka, no loka which is permanent. So there, from there, they slowly enjoy for some time, then take up another body, evolve, progress, ultimately reach the Divine Lord. There are some people, Bhuta, Preta, Pishacha, etc., they worship them, believing that they will give them some supernatural powers, etc. Ultimately, they will also reach me only, but in their forms. There are some people, they are having much better understanding, again by my grace. Such people worship me, the Divine Lord, as Sat, Chit, Ananda, they attain me. Other people also attain me. These people who worship me also attain me. What is the difference? The difference is, those who worship me as I am, they reach me straight away. And those who worship others, they will go roundabout way and ultimately they will reach me. This is called karma mukti, karma parinama, gradual evolution. But then one should not think God created some people and endowed them with that buddhi and they worship God as satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma and they go straight without going through, like other people, so many lives of being born, suffering, enjoying and dying. No, my belief is that even these people were doing all those types of worships one after the other, and slowly, gradually, their understanding has become a better understanding, and ultimately, they have understood it, they become jignasus after crossing the two stages of distress as well as unfulfilled desired states. Now they are satiated, they become inquirers, finally they become true knowers of God. So everybody is traveling. Some people are at the front line, some people are at the back line, but everybody is going through the same rigmarole. Nobody will be left out. That is the important point. Everybody is going to get me. Having described Madhya Jinaha Mam, those who understand me as the Supreme Lord, that means those who understand me that mukti, liberation, is the only desirable thing in this world. Shreyas, not prayas. For all the other people, prayas. Why do other people worship bhutas? They want to get some powers. Why do they worship some smaller gods and goddesses? Somebody wants some worldly knowledge. Somebody wants some wealth. Somebody wants success. Somebody wants to be master of something. Some people want their obstructions, which they think are preventing them from enjoying life, to be completely destroyed. It is their desires which will give them the desire to worship which form of God, through which they will overcome the problems and they think they will be happier than before. But then through purification, over a long period of many incarnations, the right understanding comes. The only desirable desire, worthy desire, is called Shreyas. It is called Mukti. When that understanding comes, because they have already gone through all the smaller pathways, they have reached now the right royal only path, and they have a very right understanding, good understanding of the what Divine Lord is, and then they become Paramasattvikas. In other words, they were progressing from Tamas to Rajas to sattva. Those who are endowed with tamas, they worship lower manifestations of God like Bhuta, Preta, Pishacha. Those who are a little bit evolved, endowed with more rajas and less tamas, they worship higher gods like Indra, Chandra, etc. But those who have progressed into sattva, sattva guna sampannaha, they understand much better and they direct all their energy and life, time, everything to reach, to become one with the Divine Lord. Such people become sattvika devotees. And then, is there any rule, regulation, you have to be offered this, that, otherwise you will be displeased, because some people, devotees of Kali, they think mother has created all these animals like goats, etc., for offering to her, and we have to eat that Mahaprasada, otherwise she will be very angry. Just to the contrary, because we cherish a deep desire to enjoy them, the scriptures have taken a psychological viewpoint. If we tell them not to eat, they will not listen. So let them understand, let them have that guidance, understanding through their intuition slowly. Until that time, anyway, they are going to kill the animals, but let them now associate them with me and eat it as a prasada. So, te deva bhavayantu yaha parasparam bhavayantaha shreyan paramam avapsyatha. So, ishtan bhogan hi vai te deva dasyante yagna bhavitaha. The Divine Mother, she purifies because of the prasada, and slowly they understand that I get pain if somebody even scratches me. So every animal is none other than the Divine Mother's own manifestation. Then voluntarily they cease. They cannot even enjoy sattva guna sampannas, endowed with sattva, enjoy only sattvika food. And those who are endowed with rajas enjoy rajasic food. Those who are tamasics, they will enjoy only tamasika food. So, the growth must occur from inside out, not merely from outside inside. These people endowed with sattva, they do not do any elaborate offering. And I also don't require, God doesn't require anything. In fact, whatever we are offering belongs only to God. That fact is being pointed out here. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktiya prayachyati tadaham bhakti upahrutam ashnami prayatatmana. Whosoever offers me but with devotion, a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or even water, that I accept. A pious offering of the pure in heart. Two conditions, devotion, they must be pious people, and the offering must be pious offering, and they must be pure in heart. So, patram, a small leaf. Shiva doesn't require any elaborate thing. Just bilva leaves. Pushpam, any flower will do. It is said Shiva is very fond of datura flower. It is a poisonous. It grows in crematoriums. You just pluck it from the roadside and offer it. He's not looking at what you offered. He will be looking at how you have offered it. Phalam, just one fruit. Very interesting incident is there. Once, some devotee came from Calcutta. He went to Varanasi to meet Swami Adbhutanandaji. And Swamiji was very fond of this particular devotee. And this devotee brought some pieces of cloth and a few fruits. And the devotee requested the Swami, let us go to Mother Annapurna, offer these things to her. They were on the way. In the midst of the way, Swami Adbhutananda said, let me see what is the sari you brought for mother. And it was specially made. It will not be fit even for a baby. Then Swami Adbhutananda said, would you dare to offer this to your own mother? Would you exhibit your mother in all her nakedness to people by offering this kind of sari? How dare you wish to offer this to the mother of the universe? If you don't have money, you don't need to offer. Then he saw some fruits, which were practically half rotten or three-fourth rotten. He said, look, my boy, be a little more intelligent. If you want to offer, instead of buying so many fruits, choose one best fruit. God doesn't look how many fruits you offered, how much quantity you offered. He sees only at the quality. He sees only at your devotion. The devotee's eyes opened and he apologized and said, in future, I will never do any such foolish act. And then, I don't know what he did. He must have thrown them away, bought something very nice and proceeded to the temple. Anyway, the idea is the Lord doesn't require anything and you cannot give anything that is not provided by him. This idea is called in Bengali Ganga Jale Ganga Puja. If you want to worship any other god or goddess and you have to purify yourself and other things, and the only thing that can purify is Ganges water, Ganga Jala. But if you want to worship Mother Ganga herself, what will you do? You take a little water from her and offer it back to her. This is the truth. Whatever we can offer, our body, our mind, our wealth, the whole world is nothing but what God has given. This understanding is the fruit of true worship of God. O Lord, I have nothing to really offer. Everything already belongs to you. But then I want to express my devotion like a baby putting a few grains of food mother prepared for it into the mouth of the mother and feels completely satisfied. Not only mother is feeding me, but I am also capable of feeding the mother. This understanding comes only through bhakti, and that is true bhakti. O Lord, I have nothing to offer of my own. Everything belongs to you. So, with bhakti, a leaf, one fruit, whatever it be, however small, and even sometimes one flower or even water. Yome bhaktiya prayachati. He who offers me with the greatest love, devotion. Love is the best word. Not devotion, but love. And that loving offering, the Lord is telling, tat bhaktiya upakrutam. Upakrutam. That which has been brought to me and offered to me with great devotion, that patra pushpa phala andatoya aham me ashnami. I enjoy it wholeheartedly, prayatatmana, with great love. I accept it entirely and eat it with the greatest joy. That means whatever devotee offers, everything the divine Lord accepts it. But because he is infinite, he puts everything back as it is. Not that like a human being, whatever you give, he makes it khali and there may not be anything left out for you. Everything will be there. This was a question put to Holy Mother. When we offer to God, does he really eat? Yes, my child, he eats. Then why do we see the same thing remaining? He said he is paripurna. Even though he accepts it, but he replaces it with everything that you have given, but then now with that indescribable purity, sanctity. That's why that which comes after offering is called prasada. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasya upajayate. Prasanna chetasyo hyasu buddhi paryavatishtate. Prasada. If we accept it as the prasada, Ishvara arpana buddhi, that's how we have to worship. Ishvara prasada buddhi. Whatever comes, that is the prasada of Ishvara, and the divine Lord truly accepts whatever is given with tremendous love and devotion. This idea has been beautifully given to us in the form of several stories by none other than Sri Ramakrishna himself, and we will illustrate them in our next class to make this point more clear. May the Lord grant us right understanding in understanding these scriptures. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.